Hi, it's Laura, and I'm back with the GCE podcast. Did you miss me? I know you did. And what better way to kick it off than with this interview with Rachel Smith, who is the writer and artist of the Webtoon webcomic Lore Olympus. I should rephrase that. She is the Eisner Award nominated writer and artist of the Webtoon webcomic Lore Olympus. That was a mouthful. So now that I don't have to do that again, we can proceed. She is a awesome human being, and we talked a lot about mythology and all that good stuff. She won't be attending San Diego Comic-Con, which is where the awards take place, but San Diego Comic-Con is from July 18th to the 21st in San Diego. You can find Rachel all over the social media. She is probably best to get from Twitter, which is her, it links to everything else as well. Her Twitter handle is @used_bandaid, and I apologize for the phone going off. Thought that was not on sound, but apparently I am wrong. And if you didn't actually hear that, well, even better. So, without further ado, here is our talk with Rachel Smith. Thanks.
Hi, how are you?
Hello, I'm good. I didn't realize they changed the little Skype ringtone. I was so like, whoa, about it.
I'm sorry, I hung up by accident. I did one job.
Oh, don't worry. We've definitely all done it. So good morning to you, because I know it's kind of early there.
It's just gone a little bit past one.
Oh, okay. It's not early.
It's early afternoon, so it's not super early or anything like that.
I thought it was 10 a.m. for some reason.
That's all right. You know, I mean, it's not too far off.
Yeah. I mean, there comes a point, like, I'm the kind of person where it's like, it's all one time of the day until it's like late afternoon, and then I'm like, now I'm awake. So I work on, like, night schedule.
yes.
All right, so firstly, congratulations on the nomination for an Eisner Award for Best Webcomic.
Well, thank you. It was, like, a really big surprise. I was like, you know, it's like something that I never expected to get, so
I mean,
definitely like a bit floored by it.
where were you when you got the word of it?
I had a friend who was like, he had found out before me somehow. I forget the details. And he was like, congratulations, but if you like don't know what I'm talking about, just ignore me. And I was like, why would you do this?
Oh.
So I didn't know if, like, for the rest of the day. And I went to bed, and of course, like, you know, we're in a different time zone, mm-hmm. So by the time I got up, or, like, woke up, I, like, just looked at my phone, and, like, my Twitter feed was just, like, everyone being like, congratulations, and I was like, okay.
That sounds like it's, like, more love than you get on your birthday kind of thing.
Yeah. Legit.
The birthday you expect, legit. Though.
Yeah.
So, let's take it back a little bit, because I don't know much about your career in writing and creating comics. How did you get into doing it?
So I've always been interested in making comics, like, throughout, I'm trying to think about where to start, because you know how you're like, I started drawing when I was very, very small,
mm-hmm.
and from then on, I was always drawing. But I think, especially in high school, I got interested in making comics and things like that, mainly because, like, I think from the get-go, I knew that I was, like, not a fantastically strong illustrator. Like, illustration, like, I think everyone can agree is, like, quite a difficult, I mean, it's all difficult, to be perfectly frank, but it's quite mm-hmm. a difficult line of work, and it's very competitive, and I was always really interested in, like, creative writing as well, so it was something that I had, like, dabbled in. I'd never, like, done it extremely seriously.
Mm-hmm.
It was just something that I did, like, on and off, just, like, fun projects, just posting them online. Nothing that I ever really finished. Like, divine school and did all that stuff, so I was, like, never like, oh, this is going to be, like, you know, my career or anything like that. It was just, like, for fun, on and off.
Were you posting them to, like, a live journal, or I'm trying to think of what those sites were.
Yeah, for sure. Like, I used to use, what's it called? I want to say Keenspace. Is it Keenspace? It's really old. Like, I used to have a really old webcomic there. I might be saying the wrong word.
I just know of, like, live journal, DeviantArt.
Yeah.
And I think, oh, gosh. I was more of, like, the fanfic reader, so I was, like, more on, like, Quizilla and those sites.
Yeah, sure. No, I think, yeah, I was definitely big into live journal and stuff like that. Yeah, so I never, didn't take myself, like, particularly seriously or anything like that. Yeah.
So when did the idea for Lore Olympus come to fruition? Or at least, like, give a little background on what Lore Olympus is and then how you kind of came to it.
Okay, so Lore Olympus is a modern-day deconstruction of the myth of the abduction of Persephone and a bunch of other Greek myths. So it's not so much of a, like, retelling is kind of a good word, but I feel like it doesn't really cover what I'm trying to do, because I feel more like, it's not, like, blow for blow, and it's more like I'm taking apart, like, the different elements of it and putting it back together in a way that seems, like, reasonable to me. I've always been, like, most people really interested in Greek mythology. It's pretty hard to avoid. It's kind of just, like, ubiquitous in our culture now, especially in terms of storytelling. It's, like, a, you know, a big... You know, you've got, like, your Shakespeare and, like, then before Shakespeare. Like, you know, everyone's always, like, there's only, like, 8 stories in Shakespeare, wrote them all. And then, like, in pre-Shakespeare time, you hit, you know, Greek mythology. Stories, the good ones. So I've always been interested in it, particularly when I was, you know, in that tween to early teenage age bracket, and I think I had always been, like, really fascinated with particularly Hades and Persephone. And, you know, I was, like, super into it. Nice to have, like, a little, you know, little journals, and I'd, like, fill them up, like, pictures that I printed out, my printer and all that kind of thing. So,
they're almost,
you know,
a little,
like,
bit...
super into it in a big way. So, essentially, I think, like, on and off for, like, a decade or so, I sort of, like, dabbled in, like, doing a story about them, and I feel like that's fairly common for, like, a lot of artists. Quite a lot of artists do have an interpretation of this particular couple.
So they've almost been your muses.
Yeah, I think I had a stab at it in 2013, where I did, like, a little bit, and I was like, because I didn't really have, like, the discipline at the time. And then I think 2017 has been, you know, I launched what I like to refer to now as the pilot, because I don't know how much you know about Webtoon as a platform, but what they do is they have, like, a discovered section which anyone can use.
Yeah.
Like, when anyone can upload there. And then you've got your featured section, which is where your paid and promoted comics go. So I started out in Discover probably back, I'm going to say April 2017, and I remember uploading my first chapter, and I think it was only 6 frames long, and I got, like, 6 comments, and I was stoked. Like, 6 comments?
That's some humble beginnings, because now you have nearly, like, 1 million subscribers, I think.
Yeah, it's more than, it's like, it's quite, I don't actually know the number of subscribers that I have, but I think official total as of, you know, this week or anything like that. But yeah, I uploaded it and I was like, cool, 6 comments, this is dope.
So, I'm famous.
And I continued to, because my main goal was just like, you know what, like, because I had like hit my 30s by then, I was like, okay, it's either now or never, like, you're always going to be tired, like, you're always going to be, like, not in the mood to do this, but you're just going to have a go at, because I was looking at, like, all the, because at the time I was, you know, pretty oblivious to what Webtoon was, really, and I would look at the featured comics, and I'd see that they had, like, a banner, and I was like, I don't have access to a banner, and all I want is a banner for my comics, so perhaps if I just update it, like, regularly, I will be able to have a banner. And it was, like, my main goal was, like, I want to have a banner. Little did she know. So, yeah, I was just, like, no matter how much I, you know, don't like what I've made or come hell or high water, you're going to finish, like, one chapter a week or one chapter every 2 weeks. It's just what you're going to do, regardless of what's going on.
That's still a crazy schedule to adhere to, especially in, like, a storytelling perspective to, you know.
And I think, like, at the time, when I, like, I don't know, I've always thought about art as being a little bit like a sport in the sense that, like, you're probably not going to go and run, like, a 15K marathon without any training.
Yeah.
I actually don't know much about running, so I'm like, I don't know if that's
it sounds like a lot to me, too.
Like, you have to, like, work up to it. You can't just, like, you know, run for ages and be like, sweet. So when I started off, I would, you know, like I said before, I had, like, 6 or 3 panels or something like that per chapter. And I, you know, I used to think that, like, 20 was a lot for a chapter, and then I thought that 40 frames was a lot for a chapter, and now I've, like, sort of reached this point where I'm, like, you know, 60 to 80 per week is up for a chapter.
Oh, my gosh.
I think I'm, like...
That sounds amazing, though.
I'm, like, I can't do any more a week, but, like, obviously now it's, like, my full-time job. Yeah.
Yeah, I saw you had posted that the other day that it was your, like, 1 year anniversary of leaving your full-time. What were you doing before?
Because I got moved over to March. But I was like, I'll stay in my full-time job because I have no idea what this is going to be like.
Yeah.
You know, like, obviously it was, like, a little bit scary because I had, you know, I don't mean to, like, disrespect anyone out there. But, like, you know, I was, like, building quite a solid career in what I was doing. It wasn't just, like, I was doing, like, a one-off job. I was, like, this is, like, my career that I've been, like, building for, you know, a couple of years, you know, like, 6 years. And I was, like, it's going pretty well, you know. So I was, like, once you start doing comics for a living, this is going to be it. Like, you either have to go big or go home because, like, especially in my country, I mean, if I was to rock up to, like, a job interview, and they'd be like, where were you for, like, 2 years? And I'd be like, making this comic, and they'd be like, well, this is great, but this doesn't really, like, apply to, like, graphic design in any way, shape, or form. Like, I'm like, this is it, like, this has to go well, or, you know, I mean, obviously, it was a good decision.
Yeah, that is incredibly, like, amazing to do, especially with, you know, this just starting from kind of the, like, fantasy of an idea, you know? So it's just, it's awesome how much it's been able to give back to you.
Well, it's absolutely, like, I still really struggle to comprehend it. I feel like I'm simply privileged person. Like, anytime I'm, like, I get up and I'm, like, today is really hard. I'm, like, remember that you have, like, one of, like, the top 5 coolest jobs in the whole world. Like, so don't feel, like, down or upset. This is, like, a sweet job. And just, like, enjoy it for what it is right now.
That's incredible. So you were nominated in the category for best webcomics, and two of the other nominees are also webtoon creators. Have you spoken to them on what it's like to be a part of a platform that has been able to foster so much like great content?
I've talked to it because there's like the other two. So there's, I think, five people nominated in total, and three of us mentioned.
Yeah, I think
So,
that's what it is, yeah.
so I know the other two. We've talked to each other a little bit about it. And everyone's super happy for one another. I don't know about the other two. I'm just like stoked to be nominated. I'm like, what? But in general, the people who work within like the featured section, like we're all, we all talk online and hang out if we can. Obviously, I do less hanging out because I am in New Zealand, but I still, get the chance to chat to them some. And we're all pretty nice and respectful of each other, and pretty appreciative of a platform that offers, the opportunity to be able to write your own story. I mean, for one, to make comics for a living is such a fantastic thing, and then and the other thing is it's your story, and you get supported to make your own story. It just feels absolutely unrealistic, and yet it's happening.
Yeah,
I still struggle with it. I'm like, how is, yeah.
it definitely sounds like a dream, and like I know coming from, I've worked in publishing, so I know like to get something published usually means going through so much red tape. So the fact
Oh,
that
for
it's
sure.
completely creator based is really like a test, like, and that there's so much success in it too with the category.
Yeah, I think it really, it's really cool how, because I think for a very long time you'd say like a web comic and people would be like, kind of thing, like that, it's kind of like, not a very a high quality product, but that whole notion is changing.
They'd be like a meme. You're like,
It just, it has to be printed to like have any value, so it's really nice to kind of like get away from that. And also, like, the other thing that's really cool about it is I like not being limited by page numbers. I mean, I can draw like my characters doing like, I don't know, four stupid faces in a row, and no one's gonna be like, you have to only have two stupid faces in a row.
No stupid face quotas, which is sounds amazing.
And like, the length can like fluctuate, and you can do all, like, I mean, you've seen it, you can do all these different sorts of things with it, and I suppose like it would be quite difficult to print some of it.
Yeah, I like that they're packaged with, they have like that kind of animation to it a little bit, and then they have music at times. Like it's very, it helps you get in the moment more with the story.
For sure. Yeah, no, there's like a lot that's to bring to the platform, I think. Because it's not like the whole like music and animation thing. That's something that's like all very new to me, and it's something that I haven't explored myself, but it's very interesting to see what other people are doing with it. And like, there's like some titles now that are like interactive as well, so it's going to be fascinating to see where they go with that technology.
The Choose Your Own Adventure is becoming very popular nowadays.
Yeah, for sure.
I wanted to find out more about your background with mythology, just because it's funny that a lot of people I've been talking to have been coming back to mythology in their own, whether it's like in their life or career. I know for me, I started reading a lot more mythology just in the past year, year and a half. And I've been reading a lot of comparative mythology, like Joseph Campbell's, his writings on mythology and storytelling. So I wanted to know, like, other than Greek mythology, what's been drawing you to write about those ancient wisdom kind of stories?
It's a good question, and I think, honestly, it has a lot to do with my upbringing and the types of things that I would read slash watch. I'm a huge Terry Pratchett fan. Based on, like, Discworld novels and stuff like that, so whilst that's not mythology as such, it's kind of like looking at, you know, these other sci-fi characters and what they would be like, but there are, like, modern-day elements to it, so there's that. Also, like, a lot of Neil Gaiman, or Gaiman, depending on how you pronounce it, so, like, the Sandman. I read so much Sandman, so Sandman would probably be, like, up there with kind of something that I started reading when I was, like, 11. And it is great because you sort of look at it and you're like, when you look at, like, the illustrations and stuff, so they change and vary, and it's interesting to, like, experience a story like that when predominantly a lot of the comics that I'd read before that were, like, superhero comics. You know, I think that's why it's kind of stood the test of time, as you look at it, and there's just so many different art styles in it, and so many, you know, a variety of storytelling. A lot of personified characters. Child. Oh my goodness. Yeah, I think in terms of like actual. Yeah, I think even for, like, because obviously, like, my parents are really into like books and fantasy. And so a lot of the time, like I said, it's kind of like ubiquitous, and you'll watch any movie and you'll be like, oh, it kind of like relates back to this story. And I remember watching, like, The Matrix, and, like, my dad was like, this is like an Egyptian myth. Like, when you break it down, these are, like, compare and contrast, this is how it is like an Egyptian myth. Which I don't remember the details of, because my Egyptian mythology is, like, but I was like, yeah, he was right. I was like, verbatim, this fits in there. And it's just something that I'm really used to. In terms of storytelling, it's always been the types of stories that I've been interested in and wanted to tell. I'm always, like, I think, also I'm really into folklore. Like, I'm really passionate about folklore. I think as soon as I realised when I was, like, really little that, like, fairy tales really messed up.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, like, I don't know if you are like me, but every, like, movie that I would watch as a child, I'd be like, oh, I want to know more about this. So if you, like, watch, like, any Disney movie, you're like, oh, I want to know more about it.
And it's,
you know, you get to the bottom of it.
Yeah, once you find out, you're like, oh, God, no. I shouldn't have known more.
Like, I remember The Hunchback of Notre Dame came out.
That's a dark movie.
I loved it. It was great. And, like, me and my sister were like, okay, so let's read Victor Hugo's Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Oh, my gosh.
And we did. And it was such a good time. And it's just, I hope that answered your question. It's just, like, the whole thing is just kind of second nature to me.
Yeah, no, it definitely, it sounds like mythology and those kind of stories are just a way of explaining, like, a nuanced way of explaining the human experience. Especially when you contend with, like, the fact that when the original mythologies were written, you know, so much of the world wasn't known, so they kind of had to fill the gaps with, you know, magic and supernatural things.
I remember, like, listening to a lecture, and I can't remember who was, like, giving the lecture, so I feel bad about saying, because I should, like, credit them, but they were talking about how, like, I mean, obviously this is, like, extremely debatable, but he said that the myth of Persephone and Hades, so it's kind of like explaining like the, you know, absence or like weather being the way that it is. So it's kind of like their first scientific thought was kind of these stories. But obviously, disclaimer, that's very debatable, and obviously I heard this like in a lecture, but I did think that was very interesting.
Well, it's also interesting how, like, it's such a kind of contemporary thought for something written so long, or, like, was popular so long ago.
Yeah.
So, are you going to be at San Diego Comic-Con, or are you waiting from afar?
I am waiting from afar. Oh. I did think about going, but it's quite, like, I've got, like, a few overseas trips, like, planned later on this year, and, like, I've been overseas already this year, and I'm, like, too many trips.
Oh, okay, yeah, that definitely makes sense. Hopefully you won't receive word before, from your friend, before you actually find out.
Oh, he probably will find out before me. I'm cool with it, like, at this stage, I'm just really happy to be nominated, and, you know, all the titles that have been selected in that category are just fantastic titles. It could go anyway, so, you know, just, I'm happy for myself, and I'm happy for all of us, and whoever wins, that's just great.
Awesome. Now, where can we find you online so we can link you everywhere?
So, predominantly, I'm under my early 2000s edgelord handle, Use Band-Aid.
was that from a song, I think?
No, it was like, oh goodness, it was like my non-diplom back when I was doing work, like a different style of work. And you know how you've like built up, you know, built up something on your social media and you're like, this name is like really not relevant to me anymore, but I've done all this work, and you know, yep, you shouldn't like change your handle all the time.
I still use my like middle school emo email. I use it for like my like collecting junk emails or like signing up for store emails.
Yeah.
But I'm just like, every time I log into it, I'm like, there's my emo email.
My God, I'm the same. Like, I have like a really embarrassing one, like, set up, like, again, it's, like, my spam one now, but it's connected to, like, my PayPal, so, like, I have to do, like, a serious money transaction. I'm like, here is my PayPal. non-diplume email address. Yes.
All right, so we'll find you on, it's used X Band-Aid X?
It's just used _ Band-Aid. And sometimes it's just going to be Use Band-Aid.
Oh, okay.
It's just Use Band-Aid on those things. I think I deleted my Twitter account once and someone punched my damn name.
Damn.
I know, right?
They were hawking that.
Probably.
Oh. Well, I want to wish you the best of luck, and thank you so much for talking with me today.
No problem. Appreciate it.
All right. And I hope you have a great afternoon.
Oh, I will.
All right.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Bye.